In July 1975, AC/DC were back in the studio to record their second album, TNT. Between sessions, Bon and Angus visited the Double J studios for a chat with George Wayne.
Can you guys introduce yourselves?
Angus Young.
You're the guy who goes mad on stage, Angus.
Yeah, I'm the guy.
Do you find that detracts from your act, Bon?
Oh, no, it's all sort of thrown in together. It's the overall thing. There's no sort of like, you know, look, pal, it's my act, I'm the singer, you know, like, you know, give us a bit of floor space. If you want floor space, you've got to make it, you know, yourself, you know?
Yeah.
In late 75, there was interest building in Europe and America as the first single was released in Australia from that long-awaited album. Busy recording Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, an album that would be put on hold. In April, AC/DC arrived in London in the middle of the summer of punk.
They're not punk, they're just shite. You know, they can't play, they can't sing, you know, they haven't got nothing that's really going for them except the visual thing.
Punk was not the image that the band wanted, and they set the record straight with their first few gigs.
They had a very first gig with a pub in a place in Hammersmith called the Red Cow. Very small place. Went in, there was only about 50 people, and we thought, ah, we've shit it in, you know?
Yeah.
We had a break, right? We had to do two sets, and in between that break, they went and got all their mates, rang them all up, and the place was packed.
The next night, the crowd would turn up, and the first night turned up the second, with all their friends again, you know, and then the third night was the same, just sort of snowball.
After the UK, they took on Europe, scoring a support on Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow Tour. What struck them most was the liberal attitudes toward nudity, sex and prostitution.
Of course, you know how over here you're always getting someone and they get busted, you know, the sex shops and not like, well, over there it's like all on display, you know. And so it really sort of makes you feel at home because, you know, you're in your own environment sort of thing, you know. This is the thing that we live for, you know, sex, you know. And you've seen all this, you know, everywhere plastered in shops and everything, you know. It was just like Christmas shopping, you know, going in all these shops like Dr. Muller's sex shop, you know. Yeah. And they got the works, they got the leather whips.
I had a funny night in a club there one night, you know, there's all these acts happening on the stage. And all of a sudden Phil nudges me and said, look at that bloke down there. And there's a bloke in the next seat, nude, you know, pulling himself, you know. I said, oh, yeah, fair enough, yeah, you've got to get off on something, I guess. And then this chick walks out and takes his cloak off and she's nude too. And they gets on this table, round table, yeah, and he starts shagging on the table, and the table rises about 10 foot into the air, yeah,
what?
Like a pneumatic table, yeah. That was part of the show. Yeah.
But this sex thing, I mean, it being such a vital part of your image, doesn't it give you a lot to live up to when you come off stage? Or do you manage to handle that? Okay,
no, man, I sure do. That's the best part. If I could fit it on stage, I'd get it on there too. You know?
As their reputation spread, the police in England started paying more attention to their live shows.
For about 12 shows running in a row, we had the English Vice Squad following us up and down the country, yeah.
The J-Files.
Started off in Birmingham where I took off my clothes and all the people said, turn around. So when the people want it, what can you do but turn around, you know? And, unfortunately, I was accused of masturbating on stage, you know.
Yeah.
I would have if I could have, you know.